Matthew 9th chapter 36th verse. I'm sure it will be very familiar reading, and I can promise you this, I will never preach anything that's new. Because if somebody were to stand here and preach something new, we'd need to get them out of here quick. There's nothing new in this Bible. It's been preached down through the ages of time, and there's not a thing in it that's new this morning. And I'm not going to preach anything new at all. This is something that I'm sure has been preached many, many times, but this is our thought. Matthew 9th chapter and the 36th verse. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." And I want to read another couple verses of scripture found in the book of John, and the 4th chapter, and the 34th verse, or we'll start with the 33rd. John 4th chapter, 33rd verse. And it says, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." And our thought this morning would be the great harvest. And it's no secret, we've already talked about it. Hopefully everybody's been praying, but tonight or the day that we set aside to start this revival here at Mount Calvary is tonight. It's upon us, and I've heard you talk about it since January, since the first time I've been here. I remember asking someone when the revival would be, and you told me, and I remember that revival this week stuck in my mind, and of course things progressed, and now that I'm the pastor here, this revival has really weighed upon my heart, and I believe we know that when we come together in service for the Lord, we should always have a revival spirit. Our thoughts and our prayers should always be on the reviving spirit of the Lord. Because I believe the only way to have a revival, the only way to have a revival spirit is through the Lord. And as I told you this morning, our thought is the great harvest. And I thought about these verses and what the Lord was saying, and I believe they've been used for many, many ages, and they've been taught and they've been told about, and He told the laborers here, He said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers, they are few. And pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest." And I want us to know this morning that Jesus Christ told us over in John chapter 4, He says, "Don't look and say 4 months from now that the harvest come. Look already that the harvest is white and ready to be harvested." We're looking into a world today that is ready to be harvested. We're looking into a community here in Nashville. Oh, we just look out the front doors and there's a whole community full of people that are ready to be harvested. I thought about on the way down here where I live, there's a lot of farming community. There's a lot of fields and places that you pass, and there's certain times of the year that intersections of roads and things are blocked because they have wheat and corn so high that you can't see around them. And that's what this world does. If we think about what a harvest is, what has to happen in order for there to be a harvest? Now you can go out, a farmer, when he begins to decide what he's going to plant for the coming year. I'm not a farmer, so there's a lot that I don't know about it, but when they begin to think about what they need to set out for the coming year, they don't walk out into a field and just throw some seed and say, "Well, good luck." There's scripture in the Bible that talks about haphazardly sowing the seed of the Lord. And I believe this week, as we come together in this church, as she meets from Sunday to Sunday, Sunday night to Sunday night, whenever that she might meet, we need to always be ready and know where our seed is going out. We need to sow our seed in such a way that it won't fall upon stony ground. The Bible says that those that sow in tears, they reap in joy. I thought about harvest time for some people. And each of us know, and I'll reference this again, it has been referenced many times,
in the last few weeks, and I'll reference that in a few moments. But we know that sometimes
years don't always yield a great harvest. And I think a lot of times we look around us and we look back to years gone by and we say, well, they used to have so many that got saved.
They used to have so many that used to come to an altar. They used to run down the aisle and they would join the church by handfuls. And we look back and we get a little discouraged by the harvest that they used to have. And we say, well, we can't have those harvests anymore. But I want you to know and understand that our churches can still have the harvest of old. They can still have those same harvests. The same spirit that met in those churches then meet today. But farmers, as they begin to go out and they begin to set things out, sometimes harvests just don't come out like they think they're going to. Maybe there's just not enough rain. And we've talked about rain a lot here lately. It's going to rain. Brothers and sisters, in order for a harvest, the crops to grow, there has to be a little rain. Where does the rain come from? It comes from the Lord. And we've talked about the spiritual rain. And where does that come from? Obviously, it comes from the Lord. In order for this seed to grow, there has to be some spirituality about people that gather around them. There has to be something that they can grasp a hold of and know that it's real. Brothers and sisters, the great harvest is here. People have said that the harvest that they once had, you can't have anymore. Well, Jesus told them, He said, don't look 4 months ahead and say there's going to be a harvest. And I believe if He could tell us today, He would say, don't look back and say the harvest is over. Brothers and sisters, we still have a great harvest here today. Even in this church here at Mount Calvary, and there's not a lot that come this way that I believe that are lost, but we talked yesterday. Oh, I wish I could have recorded all of the names and all of the people that were lifted up in prayer that are associated with Mount Calvary Church that we don't know about having a testimony of salvation. Those that may have been here in times past. Brothers and sisters, we can't give up hope on them because they can still be harvested today. I thought about this as I was coming down here this morning. I thought about this revival and I thought how wonderful it is for us to be here in the middle of Nashville, Tennessee. And I thought about the opportunity that this community has this week. Now, this church sits in the Nolensville Road, the Antioch community, the South Nashville part of this town, this county. And I thought about the harvest that's there. The Lord said, look on the harvest, for they are white already to harvest. Now, if we look back of why that may have come to be, if we read just a little bit before that, we know that there was a Samaritan woman. And He'd met with her at the well. And He had told her, and we've all know the story, she came looking for her water pots. Or she came to get water for her water pots, and she wanted a drink of living water, a drink of water. She wanted water to get through her day. And the Lord told her as He met her there, He said, if you'd asked of me, I would have given you a drink of living water. Now what happened there was, and if we go on just a little bit farther, we know that she ran back into the town and we know that she was telling people all of the things that had happened, what she had saw there at the well. And I want you to know and understand that people began to want to know what really happened. And the disciples, maybe sometimes they got a little bit discouraged and they were wondering, well, is there really anything that you're talking about? Can people really be saved? And the people really wanted to know what this was all about. Brothers and sisters, people really want to know what this is all about today. They really want to have that drink of living water. They really want to know about Christ, even though they may say they don't. There's a world full of people that really have an interest in this Word of God.
As we look at a harvest, and we talked about the great harvest, now there are many times that you'll drive by during the summer and in the fall, and you'll look around and
there'll be people out in fields. And I've never really went out in the field and I've never chopped tobacco and I've never had to do any of that. I guess I got spared from that back-breaking work that I've heard that it is. So I don't know what it's like to have to go out and do that. But as you look out on these big, big fields and you see just two or three out there that are having to cover this whole span, you sometimes look out and you think, boy, they must think they'll never get done. They must think that they'll never accomplish what they've set out to do. Now I want you to know and realize if you had 300 people out there going into that field, there'd be a lot of laboring going on. There'd be a lot more work getting done. But I want you to know and understand, I don't believe the Lord was saying that we need to have great numbers to have a harvest. I believe He was saying, pray that God will send people into your harvest that will work. It doesn't have to be a great number. Those few that are out there working, they're still getting just as much done. It may take them a little longer. Oh, but brothers and sisters, they're still getting the job done. This church here, Mount Calvary, we have a harvest set out before us. And it's time as a church, it's time as God's people, that we realize that the harvest truly is great. Oh, and we need everybody that we can to come together and work. Brother Luke and I can preach this week, and we can do everything under our power. But brothers and sisters, we need God's help this week. We need your help this week. We need everybody to come together ready to worship and do whatever God would have for you to do. Brothers and sisters, the harvest truly is great. We look out upon these harvests, and you know what happens to a harvest if it doesn't get in time? It withers up and there's no use. Brothers and sisters, we sang that song, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. Before this world was ever put into existence, I believe there was a known understanding that it would come to an end someday after a while. And I believe that as children of God and as a church, we can't be scared of God coming back, but we need to tell people and let them know that He is coming back. And I want you to know and understand this morning that if we knew God was coming back tonight, we'd do everything in our power to get all of our lost loved ones saved. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine if God looked down this morning and said, next Sunday morning, I'm coming back. I want you to know, next Sunday morning, I'm coming back. Well, you know what would happen tomorrow? We'd all get out of bed and think, well,
we've still got a few days. Still got a few days. Tuesday'd roll around and we'd say, well,
got a few more days. I guess we can still lounge around and we've still got a few more days. Wednesday would roll around and we'd start to think, well, you know, Sunday's getting here and the Lord might be coming back. Thursday'd get here and we'd be getting a little more earnest. Friday'd be getting here and we'd think, oh, well, it's only one more day and Sunday gets here. Saturday would get here and we'd look around and we'd say, tomorrow the Lord could come back. And you know what? Sunday would get here and if God came back, we would have wasted all that time, brothers and sisters. What if the Lord were to come back next Sunday morning? What if He were to come back tonight? Would we be able to say that we've done all the harvesting that we can? Would we be able to say that the harvest truly was great for us? The Bible says that one soul is as precious as 100. I want to see 100 people saved, but you know what? If one person gets saved, oh, it's worth every effort this church has ever made. It's worth every bit of harvest that we've ever done. It's worth every bit of work. It's worth every bit of sweat and tears that we've ever put into anything. It's worth everything that we'll ever do to just see one person gain the portals of heaven. Because the harvest truly is plenteous. And I want to talk about that for just a moment. Plenteous. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a world today where people are being deceived by the millions. They're being deceived by things of this world and people are going about and they're trying to talk about a harvest that they know nothing in this world about. The harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. You know, if we looked at this world and we looked at the scale of people that say that they're a Christian or that they're religious, well, we might say we have an upper hand on some things. Well, we might look around and say, well, things really aren't all that bad. But I've told you before, and I still stand on this morning, that I don't believe everybody that claims to be a Christian or claims to be a saved person truly is. I believe there are a lot of people that have been deceived into thinking that they're saved and they're really trying to work for the Lord. And I want you to know and understand this morning that I don't believe you can work for the Lord until you've been saved. And I want you to know those people that go into the harvest, well, you wouldn't send them in there with a straw and say, get out that tobacco. You don't go in there with a straw and try to get out the wheat. Don't go in there with a knife and try to cut down all that corn because it would never work. You'd never be able to do it. You've got to have the right equipment. You know what the right equipment is? The Spirit of the Lord. God's help. That's exactly what people need today. That's exactly what our churches need. Because the harvest is great. The harvest is great this morning. The opportunities that you and I have is great this morning. The people that we come in contact with. I was trying to think on Thursday morning when I got up, I was got out of bed and I began to think about all of the people that I come in contact with. And I tried to make a list of all the people that I had seen the day before. Of all the people that I had seen, and I began to write out that list. And I began to think about all the people that I had seen. And I tried to think about, I wonder how many of those have been saved. And before I began to count, there were many people that I'm sure I missed that I never even knew about, that I never even knew that were in my presence. And I thought about the harvest, and the Lord gave me this thought. So I was driving home, I guess it was Monday afternoon, and I was looking over at a car, and I thought, well, Lord, I wonder if they've been saved. I wonder if anybody has ever told them about the Lord. And as I drove down the road, I thought, well, you know, surely somebody has let them know about the Savior. Surely somebody has told them about God. And I thought about this world, and I thought about how great that it is. And this morning, there's probably less than 40 people here this morning, and the people would say, if they could look down upon us, they would say that maybe this isn't a great number in the sight of this world. People would look around, and they might think, well, we're not going to give Mount Calvary much of a chance because there's just not as many as the world is. Brothers and sisters, I believe with the Lord's help, we can conquer anything. I don't believe it's about numbers. I don't believe it's about how many you can get in here, brothers and sisters. The laborers that we have, if you gathered up about 15 people and only 5 of them went into the harvest or went into the field, and all of them got in there and they began to work, only 5 out of 15, you had 10 that were laying on the sidelines asleep. You got 15 there, but 5 are working. Brothers and sisters, we need a spiritual harvest for ourselves. We need a spiritual revival. And brothers and sisters, revival efforts, revival, the things that they come out of them, will always say, well, you know, if a church has 10 saved, well, they've just had a wonderful revival. If one gets saved, well, people will say, well, they've had a so-so revival. If they say that nobody's gotten saved, well, let's say, well, that was just a terrible revival. Nothing happened. Brothers and sisters, sometimes a spiritual revival comes for the church. Sometimes we just get revived ourselves so that we can go a little farther. I don't want us to ever get discouraged. I want us to come this week believing that people are going to get saved. But brothers and sisters, I want us to be spiritually revived as a church and as a people. Because brothers and sisters, we need it. This world needs a revival. Our churches as a whole need a good, godly sent revival. And brothers and sisters, revival won't happen. This harvest won't happen if we come at it playing, if we come at it in any other way except with the Lord's help. I want us to realize this morning that this harvest, while it is great, it's attainable. I thought about these verses back over in John chapter 4. 36th verse, and it says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Brothers and sisters, there's much rejoicing in the reaping and the sowing of the Lord. I told you about the verse that says, "Those that reap in, those that sow in tears reap in joy." A lot of times in our lives, and a lot of times in the Lord's work, there's a lot of tears that are shed. When you come to church. When I was a little boy and I would look around and there'd be a good service going on, people would be crying and I'd think, well, why is everybody so upset? Why is everybody crying? Why is everybody so upset? There's things that are going on, they're singing, why is everybody crying? Brothers and sisters, sometimes the tears that come from our eyes, they're not tears of sadness, they're tears of joy. Brothers and sisters, there's rejoicing in the Lord's work. I've told you many times, and I'll tell you again, because I believe it's one of the best things that a saved child of God will ever witness, a church can ever witness. And we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. When you see a lost person that is under such deep conviction that will kneel down in prayer. And Brother Guerin said that when he was lost, he was trembling when he got saved. When you see somebody that's in conviction, under conviction, such deep conviction, and you see that they're willing to just give up everything that they've got, that the Lord is upon them, and brothers and sisters, that's what we need this week. We need God's convicting power to be here upon those that might be lost that don't know the Lord. But when you see a lost person who's under conviction and they're crying and they're asking the Lord to save their soul, and all at once, everything about them changes. There's a change that takes place. And to look up and see the smile, the countenance that they have, the change that's within them, that's the best thing that there ever can be. There should be much rejoicing when somebody gets saved. That's something to be happy about. We've heard a lot this revival season, and a lot of times in the Missionary Baptist Church, we'll call the summer season the revival season, because it seems as from May to about August, everybody's in revival. Every church will have one. They'll set aside a week or a few days to come in and they'll have revival. And we call this the revival season. And I've heard of a number of people getting saved this year. And I've been in some services where I've been allowed to see people get saved. Me, Brother Colin, and Sister Jean were at Rocky Mound. And we got to witness a little boy who knelt at an altar. And he come up and he had changed. When he went down, I remember watching him while Brother Nick Baskerville was preaching, and he was singing. Boy, but when the song service was going on, he had that book, and he was just going at it with everything that he had. He was just singing his little heart out, and then the preacher got to preaching. Something changed in him. That book kind of slid away. He began to watch that preacher a little bit more, and then the preacher got done, and they had a handshake. And they went around, and I looked up, and about the time I got my eyes to the front of the church, the little boy was kneeling in prayer, and his brother eventually knelt down beside him and began to pray. I don't know if he ever got saved, but the little boy that knelt down first, he was just crying his heart, his eyes out when he first went down. But when he come up, you could tell there was just something peaceful about him. Brothers and sisters, that's something to rejoice about. That's something to be happy about when somebody escapes hell and they gain heaven. They get that peace that we so often talk about. If we go into the harvest, and sometimes people and farmers I know, when they set out a harvest, they want to get everything they can out of it. They want to just see that whole field just done when they go through in the fall. And the fall, I guess, is most of the time what a harvest season is for a farmer, but when they get done, they want to see the field just empty. They want to see no stone unturned. They don't want to see anything left. Brothers and sisters, after this week, I want revival to not only happen this week, I want it to be every time that we meet in this church house. I want it to meet with us when we're at work. I want the harvest to go with us wherever that we go. Because it doesn't just have to be here at Mount Calvary. But when we come into this week and we set out in this revival, I don't want to leave anything unturned. I don't want to leave anything left undone. I want people to follow the Lord and know that He has been here. Brothers and sisters, and He can be here. Amen. He can be here in a great way. And if all our harvest yields is that spiritual revival, brothers and sisters, we can say we've had a great revival. We had a wonderful service last Sunday, and I believe the revival started for us then. We came back yesterday and had that prayer meeting, and we had another good service, and we're having a good service today. Brothers and sisters, revival doesn't have to start on the day that we set it to begin. It can start when God's people, and I believe the thing on the front of your bulletin, if you want to look at it, we made mention of it in Sunday school, and I believe it's a very true saying. Revival, when God's people agree with what God wants to do. What does God want to do this morning? He wants to bless us, and He wants to save lost people. What happens when people come together in unity, one mind, and one accord? His Spirit will be here. There's something that I love about this church, and I have loved it since the very first time that I ever stood in this pulpit, and that is the love and the unity and the harmony and the Spirit that meets in this place. I've referenced this scripture before, and I'll reference it again. Where there is love, there's liberty. Brothers and sisters, we've got to have love. And I believe this church loves lost people. Yesterday, And I got to stand here and I could, that's one of the things about standing in front of the congregation when you ask prayer requests and when you're praying and when you're asking the Lord or you're asking the church to remember a prayer request, you're bringing something before the church. Oftentimes I can look into your face and I get to see sometimes the sorrow and the hurt that's there or maybe the rejoicing that you get to have, and I get to see that and I get to experience that with you. But there were people yesterday, and I've already talked about this, but there were people yesterday that you all brought before the church, and it just seemed to really weigh upon you, grandchildren, whoever it might be. Brothers and sisters, if they never darken the doors this week, you know what we can do? We can pray for them wherever that they are. Just because they don't get saved here at Mount Calvary don't mean they can't get saved somewhere else. Because the same convicting power that can be in this harvest this week can be anywhere else that God can be. And you know where God can be? Everywhere, all the time. And I'm thankful this morning that the God of the harvest is here with us. Our prayer should not only be to send forth laborers into the harvest. It's that when we get into the harvest as laborers, that God will give us something to do. There's always, always, always going to be work to do. We've just got to submit and seek the Lord's will in everything. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know one of the best things about people getting saved? It's another person that can work for the Lord. That's another person that can do his will. That's another person that can tell one more person what God has done for them. I like to see people join the church. I really, really do. But there's something sweet about seeing somebody join the church that has never united with the church before and that has to be baptized. That is a sweet thing. That is something that we should all look for. I enjoy that. When I was growing up, when I gotten saved, and I remember sitting, I guess, about on the end of the front bench at Pleasant Hill, and I remember I had never told anybody that I had gotten saved, and they opened doors of church that morning. And I mean, I sprinted up there about as quick as I could. And I didn't get baptized that day, but you know what? The next Sunday when they baptized me, I became a full member of that church. And you know what? I began to work for the Lord. The laborers may be few, but God can send them into this harvest this week. And after this week, they may spread back off and fly into different places. But we need laborers this week. As we come, as services start this week, if you can't make it for whatever reason, know that at 7 o'clock every night this week, there's going to be somebody that's going to be meeting here, and we need your prayers. And if you're thinking about it through the week, the morning and the day, and you know you're going to be here that night, pray for it all day long. Pray for it all day, all night, whatever it takes. Let's pray that God will be with us this week. Pray that God will send forth some laborers into this harvest. Brothers and sisters, I have said it before and I will say it again. I believe this is going to be a great harvest this week. I believe we're going to see the Lord bless us. Like I said yesterday, you all have referenced the sermon, "It's Going to Rain," a million times. I'm glad that you remembered something that I've preached out of all of the things that I've tried. And I'm glad that that has stuck, because I believe that in order for a harvest to happen, you've got to sow the seeds. It's got to rain. And then you've got to have people go forth and reap. Brothers and sisters, let's reap in joy this week. And if it takes sowing a little seed and sowing in some tears, that's going to be all right too. Whenever you can meet with God's people and enjoy His service, oh, what a wonderful thing that it is. I told you our thought this morning is the harvest is great. It's a great harvest. It's a great work. But we serve a great God, and I'm thankful for that this morning. Let's have a song. That's my message, as short and as all over the place as it may have been.